If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, May 21st, it is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube, as we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number on social media, at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale. Don Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Completely stacked show today, fired up and ready to go. Don, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, doing great.
Gregory?
Yes, roll call. Roll call. Is everybody here?
Present.
Present.
Accounted for.
Present.
What a show we got lined up today. How great was that weather, by the way, yesterday?
It's going to be better today, right? Hotter? Warmer,
hotter.
Hotter.
Uh-oh.
If you like it hot, you're going to like today.
Forecast Tuesday. Coming up. College commencements and free speech. That is the theme of the big take this morning. Also, Michael Cohen, the crook. I think he's absolutely cooked. An amazing story on a smoking gun when it comes to September 11th. On a story and a case with a judge that I didn't even know what was going on until I read this story last night.
Me neither.
And I'm hoping the judge does the right thing, because I think the American people need to know deserve to know.
It's the best and most underreported story, in my opinion.
It's amazing how things just go kind of unreported, unnoticed.
I know.
We can only consume so much as human beings.
Yep.
And it's out there.
Yep.
And we'll get to it. Also, a Frontier Flight from Hell.
Oh, boy.
Footage.
Let me guess. people acting like
fools,
animals, and idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to break down this tape today, and we'll do so right before the cut sheet, which comes up at 7:45. Also, more DEI scams. And from paying out of the wazoo to paying with your face.
Oh, boy.
Very interesting story. Those that don't want too much surveillance and technology, get ready for this one.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's coming. It's coming.
I mean, we do everything else with our face.
Yeah. We went from paying with cash to paying with cards to paying with apps on our phone. You know what? Just scan my cheeks.
Do you do face recognition on your phone?
No.
You don't?
Yeah, I still use the old 4-digit code.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do facial recognition?
I do.
You like it?
It makes it easier.
Yeah?
It does. Yeah.
Dawn, do you do facial recognition on your iPhone?
Sometimes.
How can you do it sometimes?
On my phone?
Yeah.
Usually I use my passcode.
Yeah.
But I don't authorize it for other stuff.
But it's set up for facial recognition.
It is.
Yeah.
Is anybody's passcode 1234?
A lot of really like banking websites and stuff like that don't allow you to use your face.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Interesting. By the way, are you sick?
No, why?
You sound a little nasal.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm
okay.
I feel good.
All right, just checking.
Allergies. Allergies are the worst they've ever been. That's what they say.
Yeah. It's going around, as they say. All right, we got a lot of good stuff to get to. Well, let's get to the news first. 6:04 here on this Tuesday morning, the Great Dawn Stencil.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live on this very busy Tuesday, May 21st, 59 degrees. We'll tell you how hot it's going to get today. And we are sponsored this morning by Budget Blinds in the news. $5,000 reward being offered as the search continues for a suspect wanted for the assault of an off-duty Philadelphia police officer. He's ID'd as 38-year-old Arthur Jones, remains at large, as they say, following the latest, that attack last week. Conveniently, they have his mugshot on file, so they've put that out there as well. The reward offering includes $2,500 from the U.S. Marshals, another $2,500 from the FOP Lodge 5, and that money will be paid upon Jones's arrest. It's a follow-up story we've been talking a lot about, but this is the fourth remaining suspect. Let's take you to Drexel University in Philadelphia. Do what it takes. That's the word from Drexel President John Fry. He said this encampment has disrupted campus life, cannot be allowed to remain in place, threatening to clear the encampment, as they call it, an encampment of well, the news media calls it a pro-Palestinian protest, but it's really anti-Israel trespassers. Arrests linked to campus demonstrations against the Israel-Hamas war surpassing nationwide the 3,000 mark. So in Drexel, they are saying this cannot be allowed to remain in place, calling on those individuals to leave immediately, but said last night, yes, he has authorized all necessary steps to clear this encampment safely, but he did not say when this might happen.
Well, he did say, you, as you said, and you quoted, do whatever it takes, right?
Yep.
All right, I want this cleaned out before Memorial Day weekend. Let's go.
So, well, that sounds exactly like what the Drexel president is saying, Nick Kale.
Yeah.
Classes at Drexel held virtually, as you know, yesterday. We talked a lot about that. Today, they're getting back to class. So most classes are back. Police kept watch over the demonstration on the school's Corman Quad. That's where these individuals are, have put up their tents and their camp. Many Drexel employees were told to just work from home. Speaking of which,
just stay home and fire up the old Zoomster.
Work from home, yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of which, a lot of reaction to the story that broke yesterday with Mayor Sherelle Parker issuing this mandate that by July 15th, all city workers, city employees, you must return full time. No more zooming it in. No more working from home by July 15th. That's the deadline.
Wow.
All city workers, you are back.
July 15th of 2024.
July, 4 years after the pandemic started. Four and a half, actually.
Four and a half.
I was ready to go back to the office on July 15th of 2020. And some of these scam artists are still sitting at home in their underwear.
We have the audio. Phil, if you want to pull up cut four, we have the announcement from Mayor Sherelle Parker. If you want to play it, this is cut four. Phil, go.
On today, I am proud to issue this statement regarding the Parker administration's policy for all city employees to return full-time to working in the office effective July 15th, 2024. In alignment with my administration's goals of creating a more visible and accessible government, I have notified all city workers that they will be transitioning to full-time in-office work effective July 15, 2024. All city employees are to default to full-time in-office or on-site work. Employee presence at the workplace allows for more personal and productive interactions. It facilitates communication. It promotes social connections, along with collaboration, innovation, and inclusion.
Now, there's that
it
word.
Also delivers on my promise of an accessible workforce that is best situated to serve the people of Philadelphia.
You know, she could have just summed it up by saying, we're paying you. Get your keister back into the office. By the way, what city employees are working virtually? I need to know what these positions are.
Good question.
What positions are these?
Yeah, because if you're a cop or a firefighter,
right.
I suspect you haven't been zooming it in.
No.
You don't think?
What about the sanitation workers? My garbage men, they're there every Friday morning.
These have to be like administrative people,
yeah.
Office people.
You know, Nick, like the people making six figures.
It's just unbelievable. If it's 4 years later and you're afraid to come back into work, number one,
I know what mental illness looks like.
You're suffering from some sort of mental breakdown. And number two, bottom line is they're paying you. Go back to work. Get on the Schuylkill. Get angry.
July 15th.
Gosh.
So because they're all covered by unions, the unions are pushing back, so we'll see how that goes.
Uh-huh.
I got to get to this Bucks County story. Her name is Angela Borisova Urumova. Yeah.
There's no
Bristol
way
Township.
No way she's ugly, Dawn. That is the hottest name I've ever heard. Can you say that one more time for us?
Angela Borisova Urumova.
I like that.
Ooh. She is she's a beautiful brunette young lady, a nursing student. And so you may recall this story. I remember reporting it in Bucks County. It was disturbing. She said that April 16th, she was in the Redner's parking lot landing and that this man in a pickup truck had assaulted her.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to make light of this.
Yes.
Okay,
so
sorry.
That's okay. No. The plot thickens.
Oh.
The detectives and the Bucks County DA's office felt there were inconsistencies in the story of Miss Urumova, of the certified nursing assistant. Obviously, was horrified. This made headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they went through this investigation, looked at, for example, the Redner's parking lot, all of the contrasted her criminal complaint to all the cameras, interviewing witness, all of the. It turns out she now admits after this man has been in prison for 30 days, Daniel Pearson, she admits she lied. She made it up.
Okay.
She apparently says that she admits to falsely reporting this attack, targeted this man, Mr. Pearson, as her attacker. She had given a description of his truck, ID'd him because she had seen him a couple of times in the parking lot. Imagined the story and made it up.
Does she have like some weird infatuation with this guy?
Doesn't know him.
Okay.
This man does not. So imagine I can't even imagine this.
Yeah.
That you're a gentleman, you go to a certain, different market or a different parking area to shop, and this individual sees you. I don't believe there's no allegation that they even know each other.
Now. Okay. Great victory for men here. See? Let the facts play out.
Victory, though, 31 days behind bars. You fingerprint an innocent person. Put it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, I will tell you, in these cases, they don't release any information in a case like this. In other countries around the world, they would not release the name of the man until they do a preliminary, or of any attacker,
okay,
such as a alleged sex assault,
right?
Until they've done the preliminary investigation.
Yeah, they probably don't want to smear the guy until it looks more than likely that he's at least somewhat, guilty of something here, yeah.
Right?
Because you don't get those days back, and it's hard to get your reputation back. We've talked about these stories before,
yeah. And so that's why I wanted to highlight it right off the top.
Yep,
we talked about the story; it was horrifying. This man, Mr. Pearson, and Daniel Pearson, an innocent man, completely wrong, just wrong. This is a movie.
Good chance.
Wrongly accused.
Yeah. Good chance he's going to come out of jail now and shoot a 65 on the golf course like Scottie Scheffler.
Very funny. So now she's under arrest. She is charged with one count each, a false alarm to an agency of public safety, tampering with or fabricating physical evidence, two counts of false reports, and the list goes on and on. They are essentially throwing the book at her as she wasted these valuable law enforcement resources as well.
Yep. It's another thing people never think about, all the resources that get exasperated with taxpayer dollars and time with these agencies where they could be doing something else to prevent or investigate real crimes that occurred.
Yes, sir. The Veep Harris, Kamala Harris in Philadelphia today. She'll be speaking at the Union Convention, the Service Employees International Union Convention.
The Biden administration back in Philadelphia again, huh?
What a shocker.
Interesting.
Trump's going to win New York, so take that, stalker.
God.
And I know you'll talk about Trump prosecution resting.
Oh, yes.
But it's just getting interesting, isn't it?
Oh, Mr. Cohen.
Today, we are warming up. There's some patchy fog burning off this morning. Concerns, especially if you're in Chester County, outlying areas. Be safe this morning. The patchy fog will clear, but turning bright, much warmer, 84 degrees. Tomorrow will feel more like mid-July when Philadelphia workers are supposed to go back to work. Mostly sunny with a bit of higher humidity tomorrow, 88, but today, 84 degrees. Spring is here now, and quite frankly, feels like summer. Time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. Budgetblinds.com, budgetblinds.com. Thank you for sponsoring First Morning Edition, Kellen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14, we will get to lots of Donald Trump and that trial. Day number 19 in the books yesterday. But first, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kellen Company.
And the Big Take this morning is brought to you by Wawa. College campuses, commencement speeches, and the School of Rot. I'm a public school kid and a state-funded college graduate. I went to Easton Area High School, Northampton Community College, and then transferred to Temple University, where I graduated 18 years ago. And I enjoyed my time in public schools. However, in today's educational climate, things have shifted dramatically. I have twin daughters in Nashville, Tennessee. Their elementary school hasn't turned into a TikTok diatribe of pronouns, protests, and pandering to fringe ideologies. But that could change next fall when they enroll in public school in fifth grade here in Montgomery County. My wife and I have not ruled out private school, probably closer to high school, Catholic school, or a charter school either. And when they go to college, if that's what they want to pursue, I'll help them any way I can. Although I would prefer that maybe they go to college back in the Southeast, where we've spent some years of our lives. Would love to see my daughters go to Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, or Florida. But if they choose an Ivy League school, if they are high enough with their grades, or a Northeast university, or maybe something on the West Coast, much to my chagrin, I'll support that. And if you want to know what makes Democrats so diabolical and why they have such an advantage over Republicans, one of the reasons is this. They are getting to the youth of today sooner than conservatives are. And why do they do this in schools? Because young people are impressionable. Yesterday on the Cut Sheet, we played you Joe Biden's commencement speech at Morehouse, an HBCU in the Atlanta, Georgia area. We also played for you Dr. Anthony Fauci's commencement speech at Columbia. But did you notice the difference in the media coverage for what Joe Biden said at an HBCU or what Fauci said at an Ivy League institution compared to late last week when Harrison Butker gave his speech at a Catholic school? Of course you did. You know the media slant, you know the spin, and how they put these things on the lamestream media and the way they slant the coverage. As did Miranda Devine, the fine columnist at the New York Post. And I said yesterday in passing on the show, who would you rather have speak at your commencement speech? Joe Biden saying white people are racist? Dr. Fauci saying that we live in a world of medical disinformation? Or Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker saying a wife and mother's greatest joys could very well come at home raising a family? I swear people are listening to this show all over the country. Maybe even New York Post columnist Miranda Devine listens as well, as she wrote a great column with the headline reading, Biden, Fauci, and Butker each deliver starkly different speeches, and the best message gets vilified. And she's exactly right. Harrison Butker shares his conservative beliefs at a Catholic commencement speech with young adults, and he should lose his job. No, in fact, not only should he lose his job, he should be replaced by a female kicker. One person sick of the woke outrage is HBO's Bill Maher, who had this to say on Real Time Friday night. Listen and watch this.
He said, some of you talking to this, the women here, some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world. Okay, that seems fairly like modern. But I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I don't see what the big crime is. I really don't. And I think this is part of the problem people have with the left, is that lots of people in this country are like this. Like he's saying, some of you may go on to lead successful careers, but a lot of you are excited about this other way that people, everybody used to be. And now can't that just be a choice too? And I feel like they feel very put upon, like there's only one way to be a good person, and that's to get an advanced degree from one of those asshole factories like Harvard.
You know, most common sense Americans have zero issue with what Harrison Butker had to say. But let me let you in on a little secret. Just my own personal belief. I think a lot of left-wing media members live far more right or conservative in their private lives than they portray in their on-air personas and their characters. Translation, they are the biggest frauds going. But here's another triggering comment for you. This also courtesy of Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker, who said he was prepared to walk away from the NFL over the vaccine mandate. Listen and watch this.
I think the only tough thing was for a lot of players, they felt like they didn't have a choice. It was almost like you have to do these things. You got to follow these protocols or else you're not going to have a job and you're going to get cut. But, you know, for me, I just felt in my situation, I talked to my wife and I was fully okay with stepping away from football. It was like, I'm going to stick to my principles.
Wow.
I'm not going to compromise. And if this is my last season, then so be it. And I think in some ways I was an example for a lot of the guys, like, wow, you know, maybe I should have stood up a little bit more. Maybe in the future when there's something that's going to come down where I feel like my freedom's getting taken away and I feel like I don't have a voice, well, I can stick up and stand up for what I believe in, because at the end of the day, football isn't my life. It's my job. I love it. I love kicking. I love the Chiefs. I love playing. But, you know, I'm a child of God and I'm a husband and father, and that comes before playing football. So if I'm ever doing something that I think goes against those first two things, as being a child of God and as being a husband and father, then, you know, I'm prepared to step away and look for another means to provide for the family.
Oh my, speaking on behalf of most women and then defending his right to his body, his choice. The gumption of this guy. Cancel him immediately. That audio from our friends at Grabian as Butker joined the Breakaway podcast with John Root. Also, the average American who doesn't do their research probably found nothing wrong with Dr. Fauci and with what he had to say at Columbia University's commencement speech. Heck, most people probably had zero idea he even delivered the commencement speech. But as you know, if you listen to this show, we gave you the NIH story last week about the three-letter agency from hell finally admitting, after years of denial, that they were in on the gain-of-function research disaster during the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, Joe Biden, he continues to pander for votes by selling the big fear of the white man, the boogeyman, to many minorities in America. So you know it must be election season. Miranda Devine of the New York Post writes the following. The graduating class of 2024 has been treated to three very different commencement speeches in recent days, but only one was not self-serving, dishonest, and destructive. And you can guess which one made the left flip out. As part of his nationwide pandering tour to win back dwindling black support, Joe Biden went to the prestigious black all-male Morehouse College in Atlanta on Sunday and told the students that they are victims of racism and white supremacy. He told these aspiring leaders that American democracy has failed them. Quote, what is democracy if black men are being killed in the street when a trail of broken promises still leaves black communities behind? If you have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot, he asked. We showed you Morehouse students yesterday on the cut sheet turning their back on when Joe gave that dated speech of yesteryear. And more black voters are turning their backs on Democrats. But in my opinion, there are still far too many who buy Democrats' nonsense and will buy Biden's BS. But don't worry. I have the facts to debunk Biden. Debunking Biden is the easiest thing to do. Here are the stats in 2024 of interracial killings, courtesy of a database that collects crime stats. You can check it out for yourself right now. It's national-conservative.com/interracial-homicides. Did you know that the 2024 interracial homicide chart shows us that 60% of the time, the victim is white. 17% of the time, The victim is either American Indian, Middle Eastern, Latino, or Pacific Islander. And only 16% of the time, the victim is black. Those are the victim stats. Here are the suspect stats. 61% of the time, the suspect is black. 23% of the time, the suspect is Latino or Middle Eastern. And 11% of the time, the suspect is white. If facts offend you, I can't help you. But it's graduation season. There will be tons of commencement speeches coming up over the next 2 to 4 weeks. And the speakers will be from all walks of life with all sorts of diverse backgrounds. But we all know one thing. Only certain beliefs and backgrounds are allowed to voice their views publicly, even if in a private setting, not in the workplace, like Harrison Butker. And that's a big reason why these schools have become a-hole factories, as Bill Maher said. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
It's brought to you by Wawa. Wawa has pizza. It's made fresh and it tastes great. I can tell you firsthand. And now the price is great too. Get the pizza you crave starting at $7.99 after 4 p.m. Gotta have a Wawa. 855-839-1210. The phone number. You can get us on social media at 1210WPHD. You can also get us in the YouTube chat. Just go to Kale and Company's comment community, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some thoughts and reaction to these commencement speeches on the other side. And also, the day that was for Michael Cohen, the crook who is officially cooked, at least in my eyes. Back after this here on a Tuesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We're down to the final four teams. It starts tonight. Indiana Pacers at Boston Celtics. Taking the Boston Celtics minus 10. Dallas Mavericks at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Taking the Mavericks plus 4. It's not too late, though, to get in on all the action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT and the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, President PA. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we get going here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nick Dawn and Greg, 855-839-1210 is how you climb aboard. You can get us on social media, the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Warm one yesterday. Will be hotter today. Not sure that it gets any hotter than what happened on trial day number 19 in that courtroom yesterday in New York City, which is really weird because, you know, the air conditioning is going full throttle in that courtroom, and Donald Trump has already told you,
I'm freezing my ass off up here.
Yeah, he's freezing his keister off, but man, did it get contentious yesterday. So all sorts of recaps to give you. We're also going to give you a piece of audio from Andy McCarthy of Fox News, and I think it's officially over for Michael Cohen. If that man had a shred of credibility after what transpired late last week, in Thursday and Friday's testimony, whatever ounces, you know, the dignity that that man might have had left, it got exposed yesterday as Cohen admits that he stole from the Trump organization. This is from The Blaze, Michael Cohen, because as we know, we can't really see what's going on in there. You get some sketches, but for the most part, it's just a handful of reporters kind of chronicling and documenting this almost like a live blog. But Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's former attorney, admitted while on the stand yesterday that he stole tens of thousands of dollars from the Trump organization. According to live reporting from the courthouse, Trump's attorney Todd Blanche confronted Cohen about his claim that he was shorted $100,000 on his yearly bonus from the Trump organization in 2017. Here are some of the quotes. So the $50,000 that you got back from Red Finch, you only paid the Red Finch owner $20,000, right? That was Blanche asking Cohen. Cohen responded, quote, yes, sir. Cohen acknowledged that he withdrew the cash over a couple of days because he didn't want to take out the $20,000. Cohen added, quote, I don't recall if it was exactly 20,000. Blanche goes on to say, so you stole from the Trump Organization. Cohen replied, yes, sir. And then following that, Blanche continued by saying, you didn't just steal the $30,000 because it was grossed up. It was $60,000. To which Cohen again responded saying, yes, sir. Cohen received a total of $420,000 from Trump in 2017. And according to Cohen, he was paid $130,000 for the settlement payment he made to porn actress Stormy Daniels, $50,000 for technology services to Red Finch, 180 G's for estimated taxes, and a $60,000 bonus. However, Cohen admitted that he only paid Red Finch $20,000 and pocketed the rest. Despite allegedly admitting to the theft of the district's attorney's office, he did not end up facing any charges. And here's the damning thing of all. This is just goes to show you what a greedy pig this guy is. And this is not, it's like he's supposed to be a smart guy, right? He was a high big shot profile attorney. He says, quote, I was angered because of the reduction in the bonus. And so I just felt it was almost like self-help. And again, $130,000 to have my bonus cut by two-thirds was very upsetting, to say the least. Dawn, this is like me being angry that eggs are 50 cents more a carton, and I go into the grocery store and I steal the eggs and I say, well, it's not fair that inflation is so high, so I'm just going to take what I normally would get for the same price, and I'm going to act like it's okay and I shouldn't be charged here. And of course, statute of limitations have expired, which really shouldn't matter in this case because the statute of limitations expired for district attorneys to go after Trump, federal prosecutors, mm-hmm. the same thing. But this guy's a total skunk. He's got zero credibility left. Zero.
Well, the fun one to watch yesterday was, and I know you're a big fan of Jonathan Turley.
I love that guy.
And at 1:20 yesterday, one of his the tweets, unfortunately, I didn't see it during the Dawn show, like during the 10 a.m. hour, because he was in the court and he kept, I guess he was running out. But he wrote, I am out of the courtroom. It was quite a morning to have someone admit to stealing money from his client, then confirm he wants to run for Congress. It'll be a novel campaign. People usually wait to get into Congress before they commit major felonies. I think that we finally found the crime. I mean, that's what I heard. Yep. I think Turley said it. Others said it yesterday. Hey, we finally found the crime. This is, isn't it grand larceny?
It's grand larceny.
A felony.
Yes. I think it's a second degree class C felony. Anytime you steal above, I forget what the threshold is. It might be, I forget what the thousands of dollars is. But yeah,
this is way above that.
This is a far bigger crime than falsifying business records.
CNN's Ellie Honig said
this
yesterday
beautiful.
On CNN. This is cut 17, Phil, if you want to pull it up, where Honig basically said Cohen stealing from Trump is more serious of a crime. Yeah. Falsifying business records. This is cut 17, Phil, go.
Yeah. The way this was raised and addressed on direct is what Julia Louis-Dreyfus would call yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's what Michael Cohen said.
Explain. I think that was George Costanza.
No.
It was Elaine.
It was Elaine.
Really?
Yeah. It was Elaine.
Okay.
Yada, yada,
let's
yada.
Let's debate it longer. I like
that. Here's the direct testimony, the way Michael Cohen explained what happened.
It's actually a girl that Costanza was dating. But okay, sorry.
Oh, there you go. Michael Cohen explained this whole thing, quote, that's what was owed, and I didn't feel Mr. Trump deserved the difference. That's a lot different than I stole $60,000 from my boss on the transaction at the heart of this case. And by the way, the fact that he was never charged with larceny is important because stealing $60,000 through fraud, which would be larceny in New York State, is more serious of a crime than falsifying business records.
This is one of those...
So there you go. Now, Michael Cohen, I've got some stats and some data here from this is the New York Post. Cohen could have faced up to 15 years in prison if he was charged and convicted of stealing from his former longtime boss, Donald Trump. It is a second degree felony. It's a class C felony for stealing an amount north of $50,000, but the 5-year statute of limitations for grand larceny has since expired. So this is just one of these things where, you know, I think we gave you the clip yesterday where, I forget who it was. It might have been Ellie Honig that said that Cohen basically had one leg chopped out underneath him last week. And now I think the other leg was chopped out yesterday. His head was severed. He's just a torso right now, right? Like, there's no reason to put Trump on the stand. If you're the defense, you pretty much rest your case. And I think right now, and I said this on the show yesterday, I think this is going to lead to one of two things. You're either going to get a hung jury at a bare minimum, which I think is probably, if I had to bet, guilty, hung jury, or not guilty slash acquitted, I would say hung jury is probably the most likely. But after yesterday, I think acquittal is far more into the equation than yesterday.
100%.
And I think you guys are wrong.
But even if it's not, even if it's not, they have, we've talked a lot about that Ninth Circuit Appeals Court, because think about Alvin, by the way, think about the prosecution, Alvin Bragg. So in this kind of a case, because it went to a grand jury, because I feel like we are getting to be experts on these things, unfortunately, but because it went to a grand jury, they have the obligation to reveal this little factoid. So if they knew this piece, and it sounds, by all accounts, Michael Cohen admitted this. So they knew that he stole from the Trump Organization. They withheld it, not only from the defense initially, but as well, and most importantly, they withheld it initially going to charge Trump and take him to court. So this is in play now that Alvin Bragg is in trouble. He's in the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
The judge looks bad. Alvin Bragg looks bad. And this is misconduct. That's the level of this thing. So to me, this is a slam dunk. They have, I think I've counted six different ways. It's like that old song, how many ways to leave your lover? How many ways, you know, to get the appeal in the Ninth Circuit? Michael Pelka could make that much prettier.
See, that's the difference between you and I, Dawn. I would have said, how many licks does it take you to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? But that's the difference in you and I. So I've got this breakdown here as well on whether or not you're going to see the acquittal versus the hung jury. But I do want to play you this clip. And then we also have some quotes here from Zach Smith. He's the Heritage Foundation Senior Legal Fellow. But I want to play Andy McCarthy first. This is Andy McCarthy of Fox News yesterday, late in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock. He was out on the sidewalk of the courthouse being interviewed on television. Take a listen and watch this. Greg, this is K2.
Speechwriter to President George W. Bush. He's also a Fox News contributor. I have two questions for you, one on the case and one on politics. The first one is about Michael Cohen and his credibility and what the jury has heard and seen. And one of the things was today, on cross-examination, he was asked about taking $60,000 from the Trump Organization for work he did not do. And then you also believe he isn't a fixer, he's a grifter. And how do you think the jury takes that?
Well, I mean, he's a serial perjurer who's lied at probably every place that you can lie, he's lied. And when he was caught in a lie on the stand, with this 96-second phone call where he claimed it was about the hush money payment, and it's been proven that he was talking about a 14-year-old who was stalking him. He said, "Well, I believe I was telling." He said it was both. That he was in 96 seconds. He discussed both of them. He says, "I believe I was telling the truth. I believe I was telling the truth." If you're telling the truth, you say, "I was telling the truth." You don't say, "I believe I was telling the truth." So his credibility is trashed. But I want to bring up one other legal issue that I think is really interesting, and I'd love to, if Andy McCarthy or some of the other folks on your panel have a thought on this. The Biden administration right now is suing the state of Texas, saying that it is unconstitutional for the state of Texas to enforce federal immigration law. And the left is outraged by what Texas is doing. If it's unconstitutional for Texas to enforce federal immigration law, how is it constitutional for New York to enforce federal election law? These things are not consistent. Bragg has no authority to enforce election law, and if there's no federal crime, then it's just a misdemeanor.
Right,
and as Andy just pointed out, it would be thrown out because the statute of limitations is
over. Pretty good.
Andy McCarthy, if you are listening to that, would you like to take that one on?
Yeah, I think Mark makes a great point. I've called this in the trial the dog that doesn't bark, because if this was any other prosecutor in America, state prosecutor, municipal prosecutor, and the defendant wasn't Trump, the Biden Justice Department would be papering the state courthouse and the federal courthouse with all kinds of motions to stop the prosecution from doing that, because in federal law, the Federal Election Commission and the Justice Department are given by Congress exclusive enforcement jurisdiction over federal campaign law. So when Trump says this is all Biden, it's not as easy to see in this case what the connection is. But the Biden Justice Department is very passive here. And I assure you that under any other circumstances, if it was any other defendant, we'd be hearing a lot from them.
Okay. I'm going to
So, you know, we always hear about third world countries. This is kangaroo court. I think there's a little bit further of that clip where McCarthy goes on to say this is the type of stuff that happens in Pakistan or in Georgia, not the state of Georgia, the country of Georgia. So you got a couple of things here. Blanche, two quotes that I want to give you. Quote, Blanche did a good job of demonstrating that, quote, not only is Cohen a liar and a thief, but he's motivated by money in everything he does. Also, quote, in one way, Cohen is trying to take Trump's money, but in another, he's trying to take his freedom. And then I want to give you Heritage Foundation senior legal fellow Zach Smith said this, quote, I think after last week's cross-examination, Michael Cohen's credibility as a witness had already pretty much been eviscerated. If there were any lingering doubts in the minds of any jurors, I suspect today's testimony was even more damaging. But it makes you wonder two things. One, did the prosecution not know about this before they put Cohen on the stand? And then secondly, he finds that doubtful. But if they didn't, that's its own issue. This is written poorly. But if they knew about this and chose to put Cohen on the stand regardless, that in some ways is even more shocking. One thing you learn right away is like a lawyer, like you never put somebody on a stand that you don't know what they're going to say. Never ask a question that you don't have the answer to. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show you what kind of a haphazard prosecutorial disaster this is, where when you allow your feelings and your emotions and a vendetta to override your basic legal training, you end up looking like a fool up there. And I think a lot of these people are looking clueless right now, from Alvin Bragg to Mershon, who we'll get to in a little bit, who decided to clear out the courtroom yesterday.
What happened yesterday, and then looking at the New York Times today and how they're reporting all of this, by the way, because the New York Times knows, well, this jury might take a peek or walk by, you know, an old school paper stand or whatever. It just, to me, yesterday is a microcosm for what's happening to Republicans, to conservatives, and to Trump. This emboldens Trump's campaign. And it's so bad. This is so horrible for the country.
The only question is, does the small sliver of undecided people out there see what you're saying and hear what you're saying? And does that sway them to say, you know what, maybe he is being persecuted? Because there's only a small little sliver out there of people, you know, 2-3% of American voters, probably. And I'm just spitballing, I'm just guessing. I think pretty much 95%+ of Americans that are going to vote have already made up their mind. That small percentage, do they see what you're seeing? Do they hear what Andy McCarthy is saying? Like, the Biden administration could get involved, and if this was anybody other than his top political rival, they would be like, what are we doing here, right?
Well, that leads us to two things. I think Afghanistan, we don't discuss Afghanistan, and I'm talking obviously about Biden's disastrous withdrawal plan from Afghanistan. I had read at some point the stats on truly independent voters, and there aren't many of them, to your point, who after Afghanistan said never Biden, just never Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a critical point, and we'll be talking about it more in August, and that'll be, you know, leading into the fall, just as a reminder, because now look at what's going on in Afghanistan. So I think there's that coupled with everything else. But I think to answer your question, to think about what's happening right now and to look at the disaster, I just wonder every day more what we've talked about and what Greg brings up, and USA Today yesterday talking about, hey, Biden, there was this right cover of USA Today op-ed saying Biden has all summer because their convention's not until late August.
Yep.
He could, for health reasons, family reasons, step down. Their number one choice to step in, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy.
And think about that scenario, and I know that you're going, Dawn, you're losing your mind, but it was USA Today. Greg has been saying that for, I don't even know, I have to keep better track of this stuff because I thought, oh my God.
Yeah.
Then everything goes away, all the baggage, and you have this new young guy who the mainstream media is going to would love because they're liberal. But think about in Pennsylvania, what does he poll at? Even Republicans in PA, I think 42-45% like him, 57-60% approval. You know, would the Democrats, who are always thinking ahead, would they just pivot and boom, put somebody like that in that could go, ha ha, I'm the new guy, I'm baggage free.
Would be amazing to see him leapfrog Gavin Newsom, everybody's presumptive replacement that's been laying in the weeds, right?
Yeah, and then they'd have an open convention. I know Kamala would have a fit. I don't know. I started like Greg Stocker's, the stuff he says is living rent free in my head, as you say. But
did I say Josh Shapiro was going to jump in?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you threw that out a while ago. Yeah, when he was the shiny new object.
At the time, I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. But now I'm like, oh my gosh.
I think Americans would reject Gavin Newsom, which is to your point, which is why maybe Shapiro would leapfrog all of them.
I don't think, you know, getting back to the Cohen thing, they found blood. OJ's blood at the murder scene, and he was still found not guilty. So you think these jurors just can't view it objectively? We're not in the courtroom, guys. I know, like, media's like, well, that's it. This is done. This is over. He's a liar. We're not in the courtroom.
But you
have no idea what these jurors are thinking.
So just for clarification, you're thinking this is more of a tainted jury or a jury that can't just look at the facts and the rule of law? Or you think they're proving the case?
We're going by secondhand information from people who may be in the courtroom and then pundits who are reacting to it. That's what we're not in the courtroom. We have no idea how this landed in the court.
But it's unanimous. We're not getting mixed messages from legal scholars. They are all saying almost in uniformity the same thing, whether it's CNN or Fox, whether it's Turley or Honig, they've all pretty much echoed the same recap and reaction.
Again, I understand Michael Cohen is not a credible witness, and yes, go to 52. I am not saying Michael Cohen is a credible witness, because obviously he's not. He's built his whole career on being a lying scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, Trump hired him.
Right. Well, Trump's got a problem with hiring, I think, people that are just not great. By the way,
how many times somebody can you say that?
Somebody told me off the record that Todd Blanche is a tremendous attorney.
Oh my God.
And I don't want, Donna, this is not, I hope you don't view this as sexist, but I was told off the record by two lawyers, Blanche is a bulldog, a great hire, and Elena Haba isn't worth the suit she walks in.
No, I think these attorneys, the one, if you talk about Trump hiring, this team is fantastic and has done well by him. Their closing arguments, to Greg's point, the closing arguments have to be clutch, because if they put this together and present it as such, you know, you think about these so-called star witnesses, and excuse my, you know, I don't know how to describe, you know, the whore on the stand. that's Michael Cohen. I mean, what a horrible star. That's their star. I know I did that on purpose. You thought it was the other person who's a pole dancer who looks like the saint compared to this one.
Well, neither one of them have credibility.
My gosh.
But you're right. It's more than just the credibility of these two. We also have to look at, has the prosecution, forget the witnesses, from a letter of the law, have they proved beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump committed the crimes that he's been charged with? And where's that second crime at? They still haven't even introduced that. So
no, and the fact that they would allow, think about it, the pole dancer and a person who sold her body in adult films for, you know, sex and this and that, Michael Cohen, but they would not allow a witness who worked for the federal government and is an expert on all of these matters as far as campaign laws, that the judge wouldn't allow that individual as a defense witness.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think overall this whole thing, certainly, that's why I say at least 5-6 ways that this will definitely go to the Ninth Circuit. It will definitely be appealed. But then to what Greg said earlier, that, and I hate to even admit this, when I looked at the New York Times, I thought, I always want to look at them like, all right, how are they going to, first of all, their headline, they're talking about, oh, the good news is about the opioid crisis. And they go into this whole thing, which is great. It's a great topic. But then they do everything to, you know, when they talk about Trump on trial, one of their second points is the prosecution rested. Then they go to prosecutors found a photo of Trump with his bodyguard from October of 2016 taken after Cohen said he called the bodyguard to discuss the payment to Stormy Daniels. I'm looking at it like, what are you talking about? How is that a headline? But they're saying the defense had challenged Cohen's account of blah, blah, blah. To me, to put that up high, like, shame on you. But they're doing that on purpose. They bury in the middle the hot stuff that's what we're talking about, which was shocking, frankly, that your star witness admits he essentially was, like, embezzling, stealing from the company and pocketing all this money. And their one of their final lines in their, as I look at their newsletter, is a verdict could come next week answering the question of whether Trump will campaign for president as a convicted felon. Emphasize convicted felon, which, of course, is what Biden has wanted all along. So he could say, yeah, not for nothing. I said I would debate, but not against a convicted felon.
All right. 855-839-1210. We'll continue this after the news in hour number two. And also, we'll put a bow on this conversation from the standpoint of the judge, Juan Merchan, and what this sideshow circus they pulled late in the day yesterday as they cleared out the courtroom with Mr. Costello. That's coming up next. It's Kale and Company, hour two on the way. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
I do believe in magic. Well, kitchen magic. Tired of your old kitchen or your bathroom? You need to give my friends at Kitchen Magic a call. They offer no shortage of solutions for any room in your home. With a new vanity, maybe a tub shower conversion, you're going to love that new bathroom. Plus, Kitchen Magic offers industry leading warranties. That's important too. They stand behind their work. And they are a 10-year recipient of the Lehigh Valley's top workplaces. Yeah, they're local, a local workplace. That's important to me, too. Right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 40% off installation of your remodel until May 31st. So do this. Get your free in-home consultation today. KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. You're going to love it, and you're going to thank me. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.